Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout is a financial story, and we have Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
So I remember in all of your coverage of the financial meltdown, the ratings agencies declared all of those subprime mortgage-backed securities as perfectly good things to invest in. We now, of course, call them, a lot of them, toxic assets. The ratings agencies, according to the attorney general here in the state of New York, have a conflict of interest in dealing with certain banks, and there's suddenly an investigation into 8 banks, which reportedly supplied misleading information to rating agencies. What's going on with this investigation?
You're right. It's been one of the biggest mysteries of this whole crisis. How could these pieces of junk get a AAA rating? And for a long time, people have, you know, mostly blamed the rating agencies and said that, you know, they had all these reasons that they were too positive, and that may be the case. But what Attorney General Cuomo here in New York is doing is he's also saying, well, let's look at the banks. Let's look at whether some of the investment banks like Goldman Sachs and Citigroup and UBS, let's look at what the information they gave the rating agencies and see if they manipulated the models.
And you've reported on this program that at the very least, these rating agencies sometimes had as clients the very people they were rating. And so there was an incentive for the rating agencies to maybe upgrade some of their AA, AAA ratings. What's the incentive for the banks here?
Well, we wrote a few weeks ago about the revolving door that goes on with the rating agencies. A lot of the rating agency workers were being recruited by the banks. So you could be making, you know, a couple $100,000 as a rating analyst, and you'd have Goldman come along and they'd say, you want to make something like $1 million. And so the rating agency workers were torn because of that, because a lot of them aspired to get to the big league of Wall Street. And the other issue is that the rating agencies, in the name of transparency, passed out their models to the banks, gave it out to them, and what that allowed the bankers to do is figure out in some ways how to put in the right inputs to make their ratings better than they might have been when, in fact, their bond was not much better.
It's like getting a copy of the SATs before anyone else takes the test.
Oh,
right?
I would have liked that.
I bet you did just fine on it anyway,
I'm sure,
Louise.
I'm sure you did fine on the SATs, Louise. But what about this is illegal? Again, we've mentioned that the Attorney General here in New York is looking into this.
What would be illegal would be if the banks knowingly put information into their submissions to the rating agencies that wasn't true or that gave a misleading impression. So if they, for instance, put down in the forms that they turned in that one bond was serviced by one servicer out there and another was serviced by another servicer, but they weren't really serviced by different servicers, that would get them a better rating. And if they did that on purpose, there could be charges there.
As we've seen in court, a lot of this is open to interpretation. I'm referring now to those emails that were in a celebrated case really over the last 18 months where, you know, it looked like they were saying one thing, but a jury or a judge might think they're saying the other thing, that it all falls within a kind of interpretive zone that doesn't necessarily cross the line into illegality. How difficult is this kind of stuff going to be to prove?
What's unique here is that there actually were submissions from the banks to the rating agencies where they told the rating agencies, here's what our bonds will look like. And then they made the bonds. And so actually there's real facts here. The Attorney General's office can look at what the banks told the rating agencies would be in here and then what ended up in the bonds. So it may not rely as heavily on the email traffic.
So a real paper trail for once here in this financial meltdown story. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
And for our next takeout, we're going to turn to what you have been saying about the news and the show. Yesterday, we got listeners fired up. It was like healthcare town hall, but it was about raw milk.
I was very upset or angered by your takeaway on raw milk. I felt that you made fun of the risks with drinking raw milk, and I don't think you gave fair justice to your guest that was looking out for the best interests of children.
That is Ray from Queens, and what he's talking about is the moment when John sampled raw milk, and this happened.
The raw is great.
Are you currently experiencing renal failure?
No, I'm not experiencing renal failure, but that would take a little while. Here, I'll pass you over.
Well, I think that's very unfair. I mean, it takes 3 to 4 days.
No, I understand. Bill.
These children suffer.
No, I understand.
Greatly.
And we're not making fun of that. We're absolutely not making fun of that. No.
I think that's very unfair.
We would call that a toe popper there. Yes.
Would we?
We kind of stepped in it there.
I did, but what I would have gone on to say was that, I'm so afraid by the dangers of raw milk, I would never let my kids. That's the irony here, is that your kids have drunk raw milk. I would never let my kid drink raw milk. I'm too afraid.
Well, without getting into it again, I think, you know, I think the concerns that the lawyer had, who was the guest yesterday, are absolutely legitimate. But what we didn't get to in the whole segment is the question of really how safe or unsafe is raw milk statistically.
That's what we didn't get to also. And also, Adriana from Brooklyn posts this to our site. Lol. You guys got all flippant with your guest. Totally inappropriate and unpublic radio-like, but I love it. There is a lot of debate going on in raw milk, more than I ever thought possible. Seems like many of our listeners are clearly on one side or the other. Where do you fall? Go to thetakeaway.org and have your say.
Earlier this hour, we talked about the controversial Arizona law, not the immigration law, the ban on schools from teaching classes that are designed for students of a particular ethnic group that promote resentment or advocate ethnic solidarity over treating pupils as individuals. And we got this conversation started early on our site and on Facebook. We've been getting some great responses from you. Margie in Illinois writes, I may be a simple, ignorant teenager, but is it not obvious that we do need to study ethnic groups in schools? By banning studies of other cultures, are we only breeding intolerance as well as teaching kids to ignore and scorn what is different to them?
And Karen posts on Facebook, I teach U.S. history. My students would completely hate my class if I didn't bring in topics related to other cultures. My district has a diverse population and one of the largest Armenian populations. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't integrate the different cultures within my classroom.
You can keep the conversation going by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can post to thetakeaway.org or write to us on our Facebook page.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.